manejar las cosas. Ahí tenemos viaja.
One of my good comments of Barbara's comment. I think it's pleasing to see that the minister has been with those culprits on the 90 days and longer. But what I really would like to stress, I think the CE yesterday of the Bellingham couldn't be guaranteed that not by writing up, by collecting debt, they will be clean next year this time. My concern, however, is that this ongoing build-up of debt there is the 90 days.
I'm Caroline Kutzer from PMG.
I'm Elizabeth Mbengeg, also from PMG.
Good morning, my name is Nikki, and I'm a researcher on culture.
I would like to ask you to tell me that I don't remember what this is.
Harbe, time is yours. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity this morning to address this committee and make an input on this. And I also like to thank Advocate Adikari that has come a long way with these bills as well. Chair, this has been a long process of getting these bills to where we are today. I think it's only the second time in the 14 years of our parliament that we've brought it so far. Chair, we're dealing with four bills. The one is the Dutch Reformed Church, the Methodist Church, the Apostolic Faith Mission Church, and also the Bible Society Act, which the proposal is to repeal it. Chair, I want to put it on record that as somebody that was raised by the Dutch Reformed Church and grew up in a Dutch Reformed parsonage, this was not an easy decision for me to introduce the repeal bills that we are dealing with today. If these bills are to be adopted, Chair, it will bring an end to more than a century of religious statutes in the history of Southern Africa. At times, certain churches were so close to the government that they were actually called the government in prayer. But, Chair, we are not a secular state. Our wonderful constitution ends off in the preamble with the words, "May God protect our people," expressed in many official languages of our nation. We are blessed with the national anthem, in Cori Sikeleri, which is actually a prayer song. By millions, it is sung throughout Africa. Yet, Chair, we are still not a secular state. Chapter 2 of our Constitution, dealing with our Bill of Rights, guarantee us in Clause 15.1 that everyone has the right to freedom of conscience, religion, thought, belief, and opinion. It is with this in mind that these bills have been introduced. We have hundreds of churches in South Africa, and only three are covered by statute. This is three too many, as religion can't be governed or confined by states and their statutes, as it's much bigger and much more universal. There is therefore no need for churches to have acts of parliament, and repealing these acts can assist to liberate these churches which still have acts of parliament under statute. It's actually embarrassing, Chair, that after 14 years we still sit with these acts of parliament that deal with these. Chair, that's basically the beginning of this. Now, before the four acts I'd like to start with is the Dutch Reformed Church Act. As you can see in the Act itself, I'll just give you a bit of a background of the Act. When the Union of South Africa was formed in 1910, the idea for provincially unified Dutch Reformed Church was born, and it was therefore also one of the first acts to be tabled in Parliament, and it was actually tabled in 1910, although it was only adopted in 1911. Although it was a private act, it was a highly politically debated for more than 10 days, two nights debating right up to 12 o'clock. The Prime Minister at that stage and more than six ministers took part, Smuts, Hertzog, Botha, etc., in 1911. There were basically two issues that were very debated in this act. The first issue was whether the Dutch Reformed Church needed an act of parliament, and the other one was a very controversial Clause 9. Now, Clause 9 of this act prohibits people of color. In those days, when we had the four provinces, if you were a person of color, you could be a member of the Dutch Reformed Church in the Cape Colony. But as soon as you move from the Cape Colony to the old Transvaal or Free State or Natal, that person of color who is a member of the Dutch Reformed Church in the Cape Colony loses his membership of the church. But if that person comes back from Transvaal a year or two or three later, he can actually become a member of the Dutch Reformed Church again. Now, it's actually very funny, but this act is still under statute, and I mean, it's unconstitutional as it is, but I mean, practically, it can cause quite an embarrassment. If a person of color goes to a Dutch Reformed service in Limpopo, they might be an old woman getting up and said, look, in terms of this act of 1911, that person is not supposed to sit. And so that was the main issue in this. And it's ironic, Chair, that this act was called the Dutch Reformed Churches Union Act. As the Dutch Reformed Church has been battling to unify for 96 years and has lost 96 years in the process. In fact, this act has been one of the building blocks in the construction of apartheid in 1911 already, not in 1948, and proved that church apartheid existed long before in the beginning of our country. Although this act is never used, and many Dutch Reform members and Germans today never even knew about its existence, the Dutch Reform Church is still today divided into a Dutch Reform Church for whites, for colors, for blacks, and Indians, which is actually very bad. Although we sit together in parliament, in councils, in aeroplanes, and boardrooms, we are still very segregated. We still live in separate suburbs, send our children to different schools, and go to these racially divided Dutch Reform Churches. Chair, by scrapping this act, we can assist to liberate the Dutch Reform Church in its battle to unify. So God bless South Africa all the time, but with statutes like this, we must be careful that God might lose his patience. That's basically the one issue on the Dutch Reform Church. I would like to know, Chair, if you would like me to continue to the other three bills.
I think it will be wise for you to come up to please all the data. Yes. Yes. So that members come here.
Chair, the next one is the Apostolic Faith Mission Bill. Now, the objectives of for the repealing of this this act is the same as the others, the strange one in this bill of the Apostolic Faith Mission, there are actually certain clauses which says that only men may occupy, for instance, certain positions. I would like to point that out to you, Chair. I'd like to read to you quickly from the Hansard of that debate, which took place this is the amendment one. There are so many bills here now. Please excuse me if I'm pointing around. Because in the Hansard of those days, you can actually see what the contentious issues were at that stage. For instance, this was raised by Mr. Durrant at that stage, and he says here, they are important articles because they govern the missionary activities as far as the Apostolic Faith Mission is concerned. Article 2, and then he quotes it, the non-European, that is to say the Indian, colored, and Bantu adherents to these teachings, doctrines, and practices of the mission shall be governed by separate policies and instructions formulated and drawn up for the aforesaid communities by the Executive Council in consultation with the Missionaries and Council and approved by the General Workers Council. Then Section 65 says, I'm also quoting from the Hansard speech, a council of missionaries shall be convened annually for the purpose of discussing matters concerning work in the missionary departments and advising the Executive Council and General Workers Council on missionary matters referred to in Article 2 hereon. Now in view, and this is in the Hansard, of the great expansion in the missionary work and the large number of non-European adherents to the Apostolic Faith Mission, I would like to hear the Honourable Member's comments upon the relationship between the two sections. Is it correct that only European members of the mission were members of the company, which is that now the Church? And so you can continue, Chair. So that's basically the issue with the Apostolic Faith Mission. And then you'll see, Chair, that we're actually repealing six acts. The Apostolic Faith Mission has got an amendment act as well, but that is just to make it applicable to Namibia or South West Africa at that stage. And also the Bible Society has also got an amendment act. But we're combining that four to make it now four repeal bills that we're dealing with. Chair, then the next one is the Methodist Church, which is exactly the same in terms of the reason for not needing an act of parliament to govern the church. There's one or two things in the Hansa, which one can actually just highlight. And the other thing, Chair, is it's interesting to note that these acts were all private acts in the old days. So they were actually tabled by private members. I think it's only the Bible Society Act that was an act that didn't come from a private member. So it was very popular in those days for private members to bring an act of parliament. Yeah. And get them through it also, yeah. Chair, then the last one is the Bible Society Act. Then it's the same thing there, Chair. The principles of the Constitution. But I'd like to read to you from one of the minutes of one of the Bible Society's meetings in 1968, I think. I'll just read it to you quickly. Because one can ask the question, why does a religious society need an act of parliament to be able to do their work? You don't have an act of parliament to deal with the Torah or the Muslim religious documents. But in the minutes of the meeting of the National Board of the Bible Society of South Africa, held in Bible House, Greenmarket Square, Cape Town, Wednesday, the 14th of February, 1968, at 9:15 a.m. Under item 3, matters arising, D, 3D, it says Constitution. It was proposed that the Minister of Commerce and Industry be approached and asked for a private bill to register the Bible Society of South Africa as a company. Dr. Payne asked why it was necessary for the society to be registered as a company if it could operate as a welfare society, like many of the other churches do. The Honorable Treasurer explained that a company enjoys a higher status than a welfare society, and it would add to the Bible Society's esteem in the eyes of the public. The General Secretary said the Bible Society of South Africa was replacing a foreign company which functioned under the private bill of England. And then in a minute, again, 14 February, yeah, the same thing. It says under Constitution there was some discussion about asking for a private bill to register the society as a company. It was pointed out that although the society is at present point operating as a legal personality, it would entrench this legal personality beyond doubt if a private bill were passed giving the society the right to govern by regulation without further recourse to Parliament. And then it said, yeah, the General Secretary hoped that if this bill could be undertaken by the Minister himself, it might have an easy and not too expensive passage. Perhaps, as a gesture in our festival year, it might even go through free of charge. And then the resolution was, it was resolved that the attempt be made to have a private bill passed in 1970 to register the Bible Society of South Africa as a company. Chair, that's basically the four bills. If there are any questions, I would like to answer them.
Thank you. I'm Nikki Lalope, representing Nadejo, member of the social community.
Thank you. Now is the time for honorable members to raise present for the clarity. One can imagine when the Bible really was introduced to our country, and it happened to separate people again, believing that there is a God who loved us. I remember my experience with that. I was a very experience. While I was applying for nursing, I was not even taken because I was a Zionist by then. So I kept on asking, why is my application so hard? What time did I do when I arrived here? Students and I discovered that, oh, it is because I was Zionist. Only the reformed students were really accepted. It worried me. That's why my policy made the amount of salary when I was left. So, honorable members, time for your questions to get some clarity from the presenter. I don't know whether maybe so senior legal advisor.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Maybe just to add for the benefit of the committee, something which is also interesting is that at least three of these acts are invalid to the extent that they legislate for the whole of Southern Africa and not only for South Africa.
That is an addition from the senior legal advisor. Honorable Lakhato, followed by Honorable Del. Van der Waals, and then
thank you, Chairperson. Let me take the opportunity to thank the presenter on this bill. I want to say that, yes, we are long overdue. I did not know that the church, Dutch Reformed Church, prohibit people outside the King Colony not to participate in the church. While that is happening, in our democracy, I think these people, the individual speech, and they are the ones to drive them. So that we can praise them. They say, yes, this happened, but we are fully behind it. We wanted to find out whether they have the consultation.
Thank you. Honorable Panama.
I must just admit, you know, if you've come to a committee to discuss bills or the repeal of acts, then you obviously need to get the acts printed and to study them. So only this morning I realized what was on the agenda and trying to print these acts to study them before I come here. That's why I was a bit late. But nevertheless, I must say that obviously one has the right in this country, in our constitution, to have the freedom to support any religion. And one would not go and support any bills or acts that are not giving people that freedom, and many other rights that are in our constitution. I'm just keen to hear from Mr. Gerber, actually, the bodies that were consulted, the five that were mentioned here, what the outcome was. I'd be interested to know whether they were in of absolute support or whether they did raise any concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ramsey.
Thank you, Chair. I think my questions have been covered because I was going to ask about the consultation. But then I think I also want to put it to the way. We don't need to come across
because, you know, these days we believe in freedom of speech, freedom of movement. And I was just saying that I think it's long overdue that we should come up with this stuff.
For the first question, Honorable President.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask that question. Why is it that Reformed decided that if a member leaves a Cape Colony, must also lose his membership? Was there any reason of that?
Why is it still showing the name God Reformed Church when for now it's Her from here day?
See, I think the last one is an easy one. In the Afrikaans community you get the Dutch Reformed Church, which is the Nederduitse Reformeerde Kerk, and then you get the Reformed Church, which is the Gereformeerde Kerk. It doesn't have the Nederduitse in front. Now, and then you get the Hervormde Kerk, which is the Reformed Church. So they are basically also part of the family. For instance, in the Reformed Church, the Dutch Reformed Church, for instance, we use communion. We use little small glasses when we have our communion, and we have the little piece of bread. But in the Gereformeerde Church, which is also called the Doppers, which is a funny name, but they drink from one big. Goblet, yeah. And they sing certain different songs that we don't sing. And then we also have the Verenigde Gereformeerde Kerk, which is actually the Dutch Reformed Church for the colored people and black people. And then you also have another one which is more for the Reformed Church of Africa. And for instance, the United, the Verenigde Veerkerke, which is for colored people. They, for instance, have the Afrikaans version of Nkosi Sikelele as a hymn in the book of songs that they sing. Whereas the Dutch Reformed Church, they don't have that. Now, I've written to them, the Dutch Reformed Church, that they would also put that in the songbook, but they've been sitting on it for a couple of years. To come back to the question, whether there's been consultation, yes, Chair. When these bills went to the private members' legislative committee, the relevant churches were contacted, the South African Council of Churches were contacted, it's on the bills, we were also contacted, and they also came with submissions. The Dutch Reformed Church supports the scrapping of this act. They have a bit of a problem with the motivation because they say it doesn't really have anything to do with assisting the unification of the church. But we're keeping the motivation as it is because you can have the bizarre situation where, as I said earlier, where an old woman can get up in Polokwane in the Dutch Reformed Church and say, look, there's a black person sitting next to me, and in terms of this act of 1911, this black person cannot be a member of the church. He can only be a member of the church in terms of this act because he lives in the Western Cape, or in the Cape Colony. So it's a completely ridiculous scenario, but I mean, technically someone can actually object to that person sitting there, although it's unconstitutional, but it can keep the church busy for at least 6 months to get this off the books. The Apostolic Faith Mission Church, they are not very happy with the scrapping of these acts. And maybe at the end of my comment now, Advocate Adikari can maybe give an explanation of they are worried about the properties and the taxes and so on. And also the Methodist has got a bit of a problem with the same thing. Then the Bible Society are scared that they will lose their tax advantages that they do have when this is scrapped, but they have already in the meantime applied to have as a welfare organization to enjoy the benefits which any other welfare organization can enjoy in terms of tax, and you don't even have to bother to have a tax advantage. But maybe I would like to advocate the car if you get it your approval, just to maybe explain the technical problems that that the Methodist and the public place should have. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think in addition to that, the Bible Society also raised issues about transfer properties and so on. And as Mr. Herbert read out earlier, the Bible Society were concerned with the SC in registering as a company. But as we know today, we don't need legislation for anyone to register as a company or a PBO, a public benefit organization, for that matter. Now, in respect of the property and the taxes, there's no property transfer because you don't need legislation for an organization to qualify to buy property in its name. There are several churches and mosques and synagogues and sporting clubs, and so on, I could go on, who own property but who doesn't have to do it or hasn't done it in terms of legislation. The Companies Act as well as the Income Tax Act does make provision, and my colleagues, when you go through the bill, clause by clause, or the only clauses, will bring you more information on the substance of the Income Tax Act as well as the Companies Act, which allows these people to retain their properties and not to suffer the complete prejudices that they will suffer. But we looked at it in speculation, and it certainly don't need the legislation to enjoy those benefits. Property transfers are not necessary, and if they register as public benefit organizations, they can enjoy similar tax benefits.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm just going through some of the stuff here, but the the Anglican Council of Churches, in their submission to the committee, the legislative committee, made this comment here and says, in its submission, this is from the minutes, the South African Council of Churches notes that it is clear that the state should neither be seen to be privileging one religious group over another, nor even regulating religious beliefs and practices. So the South African Council of Churches have been consulted, and they are also supporting the repeal of the Okay, there was one more question. The Honourable Member asked me why people would, black people would lose membership of the church if they left the Cape Colony. Chair, that's an old historical thing. I don't have the details, but in the old Cape Colony, I think there was a bit more integration, and therefore they spoke, for instance, of people of colour, and not, for instance, black people. So maybe that is the reason. And in 1910 when the union came about, and obviously the politics in the various four provinces, I'm sure all have their own dynamics. But I can only speculate why that is like that. Yeah, she just told me that at that stage, coloured people already belonged to the Dutch Reformed Church in the capital. So it was a problem if they went somewhere else, and therefore they stipulated that there was a membership. If they go to another province. Of course, in those provinces, you couldn't really come to them at that stage.
Follow-up questions from
Prince
Philip?
Yes, I love that coloured person is left to the Cape Colony, go to KZN, then what is it, join, that reform there. It means that they must start a new order, they are not at all accommodated to the church.
Yeah. Yeah, they are not at all accommodated. I just read to you from the Act. It says I think it's in clause 9, status of certain coloured members declared. No coloured person being a member of the Dutch Reformed Church of the colony or province of the Cape of Good Hope shall be entitled by reason of such membership or of the passing of this act or of the union brought about thereby to claim membership of the United Church in the event of his finding himself or of his being or becoming resident in any of the adjacent provinces, which is Transvaal and Free State and Natal. And so long as he shall remain without the boundaries of the province of the Cape of Good Hope, but his status as regards such membership in the adjacent provinces shall be the same and be regulated and determined by the status of coloured persons as regards such membership in such of the other provinces within the Union. And he shall find himself or be or become resident in, provided that for the purposes of this section the provinces shall be taken to the coterminous with a colony severally constituting the union as initially provided.
Honorable
Dada, followed by Honorable Dada. Thank you, Chairperson. As I said, I'm new to this community, but maybe I'm not quite clear about all this. If you move to KZN, as he said, so, and then you have a removal from Western Cape, that doesn't mean you are a member of that Cape.
Look, the Dutch Reformed Church was actually shocked that this act was still under statute. They thought that it was actually repealed with the 61 Act or something like that. But for some funny reason, it was never repealed. And when I discovered this act in the statute, I also went to the legal people to find out if this was valid, and so I was wondering if I discovered that it was valid. So the Dutch Reformed Church wasn't aware that this act is also valid at this stage. So, yeah, so although it's unconstitutional and it's never been used, this act, it's still on the statute and can actually be, technically this is what it says. If you're a person of the Dutch Reformed Church and you go to another province, then you lose your status until you come back to this province.
Thank you. Honorable Abad.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought with this repeal, the Apostolic Church, the Bible Society, is outdated act. Now, from the explanation, it seems they do not do that. But the consultation process means that the embrace can go along. After explaining to them, that is the Apostolic Church and the Bible Society, those who have concerns on the repeal, are they still adamant that
they are going to lose and what to do. Do they embrace after you explaining to them that they will not be as rushed as what is their position? Because if they do not embrace this, we would not, we are going to stop this thing of building on racial democratic. It's important that they come out here and embrace us.
I want to clarify something that Honorable Lekhuta mentioned, and I think as Mr. Gerber has indicated, we must also understand that he's referring to something which might take place, like a person can stand up and say this person should not be because of this act. But what is happening in reality to a person is in fact that people of all colors attend the Dutch Reformed Church today, as they haven't been kicked out. You can go to all services, all funerals and activities of church, and a lot of Dutch Reformed churches actually have a third language church group, separate services. My own home church have got two services, but people can go to the Afrikaans one, if they understand. So we must not think that people are currently not allowed. It is just as Mr. Gerber or Mr. Gerber has explained, it's somebody can be cuckoos and stand up and do something like that. But overall, Dutch Reformed are accommodating people of all colors.
Thank you.
Honorable Galote, followed by Honorable Ramu.
I just wanted to comment and say my leader in Nadeko is a Christian with Dutch Reformed Church, Reverend Dumba. Thank you.
So there's a great change now.
Yes, regarding the question whether the churches are embracing this now, when these bills were taken to the Committee on Private Legislation proposals, and the churches were asked for comment, some of them rocked up there with their legal people, and they were, in a way, one or two of them were quite aggressive. But I think it was more the fact that they were unsure of what this was all about. And when we interacted with them at that committee and explaining that, you know, we want to clean the slate and actually liberate the churches in that respect from statutes, there was a change in attitude, and so I don't blame them. You know, obviously the legal people have to do what they paid for, but after, at the end of the meeting, there wasn't really any problem. They are a bit worried about the technicalities, and the advocate has now explained to them at that meeting that it's not a problem. And what the Honorable Van der Waals has said here regarding the Dutch Reformed Church, it is true. There are mixed services in certain towns, but the Dutch Reformed Church at the moment, which consists of the Dutch Reformed family, have been talking about becoming one church, and it's been dragging on and on and on. And it's actually very frustrating being a member of the Dutch Reformed Church as well, that we do everything together, but someday we go to separate churches in many cases. And we won't build a nation if we continue to set along racial lines every Sunday. It's just totally unacceptable. Thanks, sir.
Talking about the same court, and then when we enter the door, we have to separate. Honorable Ramji.
Listen, teacher, I was going to ask Sahara as to which Dutch Reformed Church is it the same church that Beafnodier belonged to? Because I do remember that afterwards there was some slight change, you know, it was not as it was before. But then there's another clarity that I'm seeking from you. When you, when,
when you're presenting, you said the Jackson form says the best link for unity for the last 95 minutes. And I don't know whether I heard you were saying that even now they are not satisfied about the
No, what I mentioned about the 96 years is that in terms of this law, it became religious in terms of the Dutch form church actually separation, segregated in the bowl. But there are three Dutch form churches. They're all from the same family. One is called the Vierge Kali United Reform Church, which is more for your, where your colored people go to. And then there's the Reform Church of Africa, and then there's the Dutch Reform Church, which is mostly the white. Now, there's been lots of talk in the Dutch Reform Church family, that family, of unification. And there's been lots of battles with what's it called in English, an Afrikaans school, the Belhaarbeleidenis. It's just been a long, drawn-out, frustrating battle. And the will is there, and people want to do it, but it's been dragging on and on and on. And I think we need serious leadership to fulfill this purpose and unify that church family once and for all.
We are talking mostly of the Dutch Reformed Church, which appears as the one which is really oppressing and practicing this racial discrimination.
No, the Dutch Reformed Church is supporting the appeal of this act. Yeah. As I said earlier, they weren't even aware that this act was still under statute. They were actually also. They got a fight when they discovered it was still there. Because, if you read in their comments, they thought that it was actually repealed by the 1961 Act, which wasn't the case. So it's a bit of a situation where they would like to get rid of it as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, sir.
Any addition from the legal advisor?
Nothing to get deliberate. The time for deliberation will be coming, which I believe that by then members will have read the contents of the bill, of the audit bill, where we can be interacting with the presenters, because we're going to have a public hearing, and that we will maybe be raising a lot of questions from the horse's mouth, and I believe they will be accountable to respond to whatever questions they're having. And this brings